We're going to read from God's Word from Colossians chapter 3 tonight, Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 12. And we will read down through verse 17. Scripture says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Amen. May the Lord add His own blessing to this reading of His holy word for His name's sake. Our text tonight is actually the last couple of words in verse 15 that says, "And be ye thankful." And be ye thankful. We're going to consider tonight what I am taking for a title, "What Are We to Do at Thanksgiving?" What are we to do at Thanksgiving? Before we consider the word of the Lord, though, let's all turn our hearts to Him in prayer and ask Him to speak to us through His word. Our Father and our God, we are grateful to Thee that Thou hast made us Thy children. By Thy grace, we're thankful, O God, that Thou hast had mercy upon our souls. And though our sins, which were many, stood against us and did indeed call for our condemnation, Lord, Thou hast placed us into Christ, and His blood has washed us clean and made us white as snow. Lord, we're thankful that we can lift our eyes now toward heaven and know that we face not a judge but a Father, face not one who is angry but one who loves us with all his heart. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt meet with us tonight from Thy word. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace in our hearts to seek after Thee in the place of prayer. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt encourage us with Thyself. O Lord, bless us now as we wait upon Thee. Lead us forward and show us Christ. Lord, I pray that Thou will help me as Thy servant. Pray that Thou will give me the Holy Ghost. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that you would probably agree with me when I would say, as with most holidays that have anything to do with Christ, the real sense of Thanksgiving has been long ago forgotten. Some today, although I would acknowledge that there are probably some children, especially even in some of our schools, who would not know that Thanksgiving has anything to do with the Puritans, or what we would call today the Pilgrims, and the fact that those people came to this land seeking freedom to be able to worship God apart from any of the state-controlled prelates that would seek to infringe upon them and tell them what they must do and must not do in their worship. Perhaps you would remember that these people came here seeking to be able to worship God, but as soon, seemingly, as they landed, hard times came. Most of us think of the Plymouth Rock and the Pilgrims coming off that boat as being a joyous, happy occasion. Here they are, now the new country is beginning. That was just a day like any other. No, that began a time of real hardship. By most accounts, the Pilgrims faced days that you and I would never want to see. In those early years when they first settled there in the first settlements in Massachusetts, almost all, probably not all, but almost all of those that were the founding fathers of that settlement either died from disease, or they died from starvation, or they died from just the rigors of life. It was something where you saw numbers of them succumbing in that first winter, especially to disease and to the hardships. Perhaps we don't realize this. We think that as soon as the pilgrims jumped off the boat, they got their garden started. They have just all kinds of vegetables gathered in, that the Indians were right there with fish and corn stalks in their hands, ready to show them exactly how to plant what they were going to need. And of course, on the November 28th of 1620, of course, there was the first Thanksgiving, and everybody sang, "We gather together," and they sat down and they had that big turkey and everything else. You know, that's how we tend to think it would be. Somehow we let our minds go that way. That's not the way it was. Thanksgiving, really, the holiday itself, was not founded until Abraham Lincoln signed a law saying this is going to become a national holiday during the Civil War. There was no Thanksgiving Day, per se, that was on the calendar prior to that point. However, the harvest feast, the habit that was of some of those in the Northeast of particularly remembering a time of thanksgiving to the Lord for His provision, that was something that was known, something that was observed. But I want you to note one thing particularly about the way the Puritans celebrated Thanksgiving. What the Puritans were remembering was God. In fact, it's been said that the Puritans even would spend up to 2 days prior to the feast day, or the day in which there would be the real Thanksgiving and the meeting together for this, fasting. Why? You say, why would they do it? Well, so they could eat more, of course. No, that was not why. Because that day was meant to be a day in which they remembered God. It was to be a day in which their minds and hearts were centered upon their Maker. Also, there was something that was to be observed at that time. There was something that these people were thinking about. You know, when they saw that harvest feast on that table, because of the difficulties of the time, because so many of them were dying of starvation, so many of them were dying with diseases that, you know, you and I would just go to the doctor, get a shot, and we'd not even have to worry about it. These people were succumbing to who knows what. But the very presence of that on that table at that time in the fall, the fact that there had been an ingathering of the crops, was a message to them, life would go on. There would be supply for the winter. There would be enough for them to be able to go through the days that lie ahead. I think that the impact, this whole scenario here, the impact of harvest time is completely lost on us today. We don't have a harvest time. Our harvest time comes every Friday morning when we get in the car and buzz on over to Hy-Vee. That's our harvest time. Now, that wasn't the way it was for the pilgrims. That wasn't the way it was for the Puritans. We have no way to enter into the circumstance of the Puritans. And we also have no way to enter in to the complete and utter dependence that these people had on their God. These people, every day, were relying upon the Lord to put on their table their daily bread. The Lord was providing for them while they were in the wilderness. You and I are never going to go through that. We're never going to have that kind of reflecting upon the Lord. We don't have that circumstance that colors our minds and our thinking as to what we are truly doing when we celebrate Thanksgiving. So what are we to do? When you and I observe this day, which is tomorrow, what are we doing? What are we to be thinking and doing? Well, that's my question. That's what I want us to think on tonight. I have three simple little things that I want to suggest to you that this time is. First thing I want you to understand is that for us, Thanksgiving is to be a time of confession. Now, when I say that it is time for confession, I'm not necessarily saying the confession of sins. Though, let me say this. If it needs to be, it's a good time for it. Get to it. If you need to be getting things right with God, what better time? It is an admonition I would make to you at all times. Confess your sins and turn with all your heart to your God. Now, that's not what I'm talking about here, but certainly that does apply. What I am saying about a time of confession is this. We are likewise, as the Puritans did, we are to, by this act, on this day, make confession of our absolute dependence on the Lord. That's what Thanksgiving is. It should be, ought to be for us. Lord, I am dependent upon you for everything. You know, sometimes we think, or at least we act this way, that we are in the place where we can do some things for ourselves, and then what we can't, the Lord helps us with. You know what? That is just something that only seems that way. It seems to us that we can do some things, but you know the reality of it is that we really can't. When Christ says in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The truth that the Puritans learned of God is the truth today. Though there may be a lack of dire needs and circumstances, and these things kind of veil this truth, the plain truth is that you and I are totally dependent upon the Lord for life and for all good. That's never going to change. Whether you're a Puritan, whether you're a reformer, whether you're somebody back in the time of Christ or back in the time of Abraham, the fact of the matter is you and I are completely dependent upon the Lord for all of our life and for all of our good. That truth doesn't change. Thanksgiving for the Puritans was a time in which they came together and before God confessed that. We have been dependent upon God. He has answered our need. Here is the evidence of that faithfulness of God. We remember our God on this day and we give Him thanks. That is what you and I are to do. We are to confess before the Lord our dependence upon Him. We might also say that it is to be a confession that we have received everything that we have from the Lord. When I was living in Greenville, I used to have a little computer, one of those, you can tell how long ago this was, one of those first Apple computers. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're only about that big, by that big, by that tall. They're just little tiny little things. But I had on the top across my screen this motto, and the Lord had pressed it on my heart, and I just kept it there. So I need to think of this all the time. And that those words are, nothing is achieved. And because this was the place I was working. You know, I would do all my papers, do all my thinking, everything was going in this computer. Nothing is achieved. All is received. You know, I don't achieve anything. I don't do anything. I get everything that I have in this life from the Lord. Christ has purchased every blessing that I have. Christ has given me everything that I ever will have. He said, "No, wait a minute. Don't we do things because we're industrious? Don't we get things done because we've got smarts?" Now, my question is, where'd you get that? Where'd you get the brains to be able to do what you're doing? Where'd you get the energy to do what you're doing? Or the talents, or the contacts that you have, that you work with, or the education that you have. You know, you don't do anything but that it has a first cause behind it, and that is the Lord. Everything that we have in our life, the ability to think, even your very next breath is received from the good grace of God. I think what we should understand is that Thanksgiving is a day of confession and should be used as such. We are to be careful in that day to make sure we acknowledge the truth. Our God has given us what we have. We are utterly dependent upon Him in all things. We acknowledge it and we give Him thanks for His faithfulness. We might also say that it's a time of reflection. I think it's not only right to acknowledge before God what He is to us and give Him thanks, but it's also right to acknowledge and to reflect on the work of God beside. Well, what is the work of God? Well, to put it in the terms of Thanksgiving, our God is a God of the harvest. Now, what was the harvest? You know what? We sang this just a few minutes ago. When we talk about the Lord gathering in His ears into His barn, who's that talking about? Or what's that talking about? It's talking about us. It's not talking about that God has some fields that He's just going to get some grain and bring them into His storehouse. That's not what's being talked. When it says that God is the God of the harvest and He's gathering in His ears and His fruit, it's talking about us. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, Christ actually uses this picture when He deals with the subject of evangelism. He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." The Lord is gathering His people in. He is a redeeming God. He is bringing unto Himself that which is His. Now, we are to reflect on that. We are to be remembering and thinking our God is at work bringing in those who are Christ's own. And as such, I say this. This includes then thanks for our inclusion in the Lord's harvest. And that's what you're to be about tomorrow. Not only is it to be a confession, but you are to reflect on your inclusion in God's own harvest. What am I saying? You are to consider that not only does God bring to us the provisions of life, but He brings to us the provision of life itself. You are to be considering, the Lord has given me my everlasting life. That is an appropriate thing for you on Thanksgiving. The Lord has saved me with His own hand. You know, to be very blunt with you, most of us can think on the destruction that awaited the pilgrims. You know, the pilgrims saw disease, they saw the cold of winter and freezing to death, they saw starvation. They didn't always see friendly Indians who came to them with all kinds of fish and fruit and whatever else in their hands. They saw enemies there in the wilderness, and destruction waited them at every hand. And you know what? That's just a picture of the way it is with us too, but although ours is more in the spiritual sense. You and I were going to see destruction. But you know what? We're never going to see that. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, you and I now shall never see destruction. This is to be a time for us to reflect on that. And so I would say, tomorrow when you sit down at that table and you see all that food and all those things that your mouth is just going, oh, I want. Have you ever noticed that on Thanksgiving you always end up with more on your plate than you'll ever be able to eat? And you feel like, I need a good spoonful of this stuff. So here goes. And oh yeah, I need to get a good helping of that. And you know what? You can't deal with it all. It's just too much. Well, I want you to think about this. Tomorrow, when you sit down at the table, at the feast that's before you, remember that that very table and what you see on that table is a sermon to you. It ought to be a message. When you look at those mashed potatoes, when you look at that turkey, when you look at that pumpkin pie, it ought to be a message to you to show you or to preach to your own heart how much, how bountiful has been the mercies of God to you. My God has given me mercies and He hasn't held back. My God has given me His love and He hasn't held back. My God has given me His loving kindness and His grace, and it's been an incredible portion. What I see before me is a picture. It is a reminder. It is an object lesson to preach to my soul how merciful God has been to me. Let me tell you what, the pilgrims just didn't have a feast so that they could have all this food and eat. And actually, it probably would have done them better if they had saved it through the winter. They probably would have come out better. But here was a sermon for them. And it ought to be to us. You ought to be reflecting it every time you pick up your fork. Here is but an emblem of God's mercy to me. I am a part of the Lord's harvest. But we can also reflect on one other thing. The Lord has not ended His harvest. Amen. Hallelujah to that one. God has not ended His harvest. He is still bringing souls to Himself. Here I see the bounty that's before me, and it preaches to me of all that the Lord has given to me, but it preaches to me also this. This is still available to sinners. The mercy that I see that's been mine is still that which is available. So I can rejoice and I can reflect the Lord has yet a harvest to gather. Now, what's the thought? Lord, let me be a part. Let me be useful. Lord, let me be as Christ admonished His disciples. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. Lord, let me be a laborer then. Let me be a part of it. I say thanksgiving is to the godly to be a day of confession. It is to be a day of reflection. But then also, it is to be a time of praise. It is to be a time of praise. A time of gratitude, a time of giving of thanks. Now let me just tell you this, or say this to you. Gratitude is not just a feeling that we work up in our heart. Gratitude is not just something like, oh, let me just think a little bit and maybe get this kind of a feeling in my heart of being grateful to... No, you know what? Gratitude is a result of you having done the first two things that I mentioned. When you truly confess to the Lord what He is to you, the fact that you have everything because He has given it, the fact that He is the one upon whom you are totally dependent, and then even though in the light of that, here are evidences that He has helped you. His faithfulness is yours. His mercies have been given to you. You've been dependent upon Him and He has been faithful to you. The basis of acknowledging that and reflecting on that, gratitude is a result. Gratitude is that which is the part or the response of the heart to the Lord as we realize what it is really He has done. Having said that, I will say this. Tomorrow is to be a time in which we consciously and purposefully give ourselves to the act of giving of thanks. We are to be giving thanks. That is not just when we get to the table and somebody feels, oh, wait a minute, this is Thanksgiving, we've got to pray about a 1 minute longer than we normally do. No, that's not what we're really about. Your heart is to be tuned throughout the day for this. This is a day we set aside. We're giving the Lord thanks for the things that we have just mentioned. Through the day, we praise. Through the day, we worship. But then there is a sense in which we're to seek to do this with others as well. It's a day of corporate thanksgiving. When I gather with you and you gather with me, we look together at what we have on the table, and we ought to say, isn't our God good? Isn't our God wonderful? He's been merciful to me, and He's been merciful to you. Let's give Him thanks together. That, I think, in some ways, is what you see that Thanksgiving really ought to be. This is what we ought to be doing with Thanksgiving. And that ought not be a day in which we, you know, I just say this, I detest, I don't say anything, but I really detest when I hear people calling Thanksgiving Turkey Day. You know, no, it's not Turkey Day. It is the day to remember God. If all you get out of it is turkey and a football game, you've missed Thanksgiving entirely. This is a day that our president over 140 years ago declared, this is right that the people of the United States of America set aside one day to remember God and to reflect and to do the confession of thanksgiving. I think that's what we ought to be doing. So, my application, my final application, I have it written there with a colon, my final application is this. Do it. It sounds like a Dr. Barrettism. Just do it, people. Just do it. Well, let's give our hearts to it. Let's really allow our minds and hearts to confess much before the Lord that He has done, and then to reflect much upon what His work is. And then let us give Him the thanks in our own hearts, in our own time with Him, as well as when we are together. Amen.